There is always something of Jesus, I believe, to be found in Christmas somewhere. If you look hard enough for him, he's around. Oh, yeah. It is at this time of the year, especially, that Jesus reveals himself potently and with passion to a longing world that is weary. And our Savior says, come, lay your burden down. Those of you that are tired and worn and naked, come to the cradle and lay your burden down. Receive the Christ child. Over the years, here's how I've figured God works. Now, you may have a different take, but this is mine. God is a master of giving hints and tips about himself, kind of like a guessing game that you might play as a child or with children or grandchildren or maybe even as an adult. A couple of weeks back, Janet and I, we attended a surprise birthday party for one of our neighbors. And surprise birthday parties are always a lot of fun, that's for sure. She was turning 60. What a moment. She is actually the first in our neighborhood posse who is turning 60 to hit that milestone. And her husband had everything planned perfectly. He took her out to dinner with other members of the family. And while they were out, about 25 or 30 of the dearest, loving neighbors, who all know her well, crammed into her house, and we hid behind chairs and seats and sofas. We hid behind draperies. We stuffed ourselves into little corners. We crouched down behind curios and kitchen countertops. Wasn't she surprised when she stepped through the door and all of us jumped out and shouted, "Happy birthday!" But the fun wasn't over. About midway through the evening, just before the cutting of the cake, with her sons and her pregnant daughters-in-law surrounding her, her husband handed us all of the guests that were there, a quiz. And the quiz was entitled, "How well do you know Pam?" The quiz had all kinds of questions on it, like where she and her husband met, where they honeymooned, was her hair naturally curly, where she worked, and where she spent every single Friday afternoon. And where she spent it was having lunch with her sons up at Miami University, without fail. Always took a Friday to have lunch with her sons. Now, if you didn't know Pam, the quiz would have given you all different kinds of hints about the person that she is: loving, sweet, adventurous, and a faithful mom. And while Advent, the lead up to Christmas, gives us all kinds of hints through the prophetic utterances of Isaiah and Micah and John the Baptist, Christmas is finally, when all the hints and the guessing is up, and in walks Jesus. But there is a little problem with this "in walks Jesus" thing, and it's this. By nature, of all the traditions that are attached to Christmas and the rather repetitive manner in which it rolls around, regardless of whether we want Christmas to roll around or not, December the 25th arrives, right? Yes, I should see every head nodding. December 25th, it rolls around, yeah? That's what happens. I'm always intrigued by that one singular question that people seem to ask over and over and over again at this time of the year, especially the closer we get to December the 25th. And the question, it has kind of variations, but it's, are you all done? Are you finished yet? Have you got everything ready? Are you prepared? And usually this question refers to Christmas shopping. This question, I wish to note, usually causes more anxiety for women than it does for men. Now, at the risk of sounding sexist, which is not my intent on Christmas Eve, men, Man, I want to talk to you for a moment. Would we even bother with Christmas were it not for the women in our lives? Come on now, man. I hope the answer is yes, yes, we say that with me, man. Yes, we would. Come on now. Yes, we would. Thank you. But what if I asked, are you all set? Are you all ready in reference to receiving Jesus as your Lord and, as is the theme of Christmas, our Savior? Are you ready? I hope you would answer, I'm ready, Pastor Daniel. For if Christmas is about anything, it is about God's love for His forlorn creation and how it is through His Son that He has saved us. And I could share with you story after story after story about how He has redeemed and brought people back from the brink and has saved them from the bottomless pit. Oh, I could do that. Our Savior Jesus. For doesn't Matthew chapter 1 declare, she will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from what? From their sins. From a life that has departed from the way of the living Savior. You see, December 25th, well, it's a cutoff date. It's a date that we all have to take stock and reckon up whether we are saved from our sins or not. That's what this evening, that's what the day tomorrow asks of us. Now, I'm not trying to impose some kind of theological nicety upon you because it's Christmas. No, no, no. I mean it really. Have you been saved from your sins? Have you? You see, the IRS may give you and I an extension on filing our income tax returns beyond April the 15th, but Christmas falls on December the 25th, no matter what. Christmas is not the 28th, it's not the 30th. If Christmas is celebrated on these alternative dates, well, it's really kind of fudging Christmas a little bit, isn't it? Salvation isn't something that you and I can fudge on at all. And Christmas isn't really Christmas unless the rituals are followed with exacting precision and care. You see, it's only Madison Avenue that will still get you a deal the day after Christmas, yeah? But Christmas only comes once a year, not two or three or four times a year. Salvation is offered in one moment in history through one man who offers it to the world. And Christmas calls us to claim it and to claim Him. I knew of a family who, because they became so overwhelmed with all the stress at Christmas. Now, I know none of us have any of that stress, do we? No. But this family, they became so overwhelmed with the stress at Christmas that they decided not to send Christmas cards any longer. You know, they just, for whatever reasons, they just couldn't make the deadline. Okay? And it was really stressing them out that they really had to get all these cards in the mail. You see, Christmas can be especially hard on procrastinators. And so we would get from this family not a Christmas card, rather we would get a New Year's card from them. Oh yeah, Snapfish and Shutterfly, they cater to procrastinators, you know? Just log in, create the card, place the order, and your card's arrived and send them out. But, you know, even their January card, the New Year's card, started to come to us later and later and later and later in January, you know. A New Year's card, I gotta say it's nice, but a Christmas card is even better, yeah? Now, you might procrastinate on Christmas cards, but your salvation, dare we offer to allow the divine promise that is given to us on this sacred night to lapse? To pass on by? Now, I got to tell you, taking care of the Christmas cards, it always pretty much falls to me. Is that pretty much right? That's true, Janet. Okay, it does. You know, in every successful home, I've got to say that there is a division of labor, every successful home, to get everything done that needs to be to get done at Christmas time, right? This family member does this, another family member does that, and so on, yeah? And as I prepared the cards, the family picture, the letter that goes with it, along with all the mailing labels, I have always made deadline. Yep, I've done it. And this year, I even surprised myself more as I even started to pick out the family picture. Yeah, I picked it out, and I got it ready even after Thanksgiving, the picture, probably with some prodding from Janet for sure. But booyah, these cards were mailed off like in the first week of December. Praise the Lord. I mean, I was happy. And because December the 25th comes to us with extraordinarily ingrained regularity, many of us likewise engage in ritualized behaviors that have no real rational explanation to them. I mean, you don't really behave this way at other times of the year, do you? No, I didn't think so. Like, pulling out all kinds of wondrous decorations and totally transforming your home from its usual look to something that is magical and resplendent. Like sending Christmas cards to people that you hardly ever talk to anymore, right? But whom you want to touch with well wishes of peace and love and goodwill to all. Like cooking and baking foods that are consumed at no other time other than this time of the year. And so the danger of Christmas really lies in what we have done to it. I'm not talking about the lights, the cookies, the eggnog, and the spiral ham. My goodness. You know, I wouldn't trade those things in for the world. You know, those things, they pose no threat to us at all. I'll admit, though, Christmas, at least in my memory, once seemed simpler. There was a time when Christmas wasn't clogged, congested, or its meaning confused. And so now the danger is this. We have made Christmas all rather, well, predictable. It's what I call the Scrooge effect, you know. Life just chips away at you, slowly, hardly noticeable at first, and then more and more and more. A disappointment here, a failed relationship there, and all of the overwhelming burdens of the world, and all of a sudden you find yourself in a place where you just can't bring yourself to believe anymore. No majestic prophetic utterances. No virgin with child, no heavens convulsing, no babe in a manger, no cattle lowing. And before you know it, the Gospels are read as just fluff. The fanciful imagination of a bygone time that has very little to say to us clever postmodern people. In your heart, you know that you have totally fallen off the edge when you hear yourself utter these words. Christmas is just for kids. That's when you've fallen off the edge. But is Christmas just for kids? Really? Let me be clear. I'm not making a case this Christmas Eve 2015 for abandoning tradition or ritualized behavior. Rather, I am making a case for this one very true and eternal fact. The birth of Jesus is entirely unpredictable. The prophets knew where the Messiah would come from. They knew certain characteristics about a mighty God, Prince of Peace. They even accurately predicted his name. Isaiah called him Emmanuel. God is with us. But despite the incredible supercomputer accuracy of their predictions, hundreds of years even before Christ was born, they still couldn't figure out exactly when Christ would come. They just couldn't fix a date. Chronologically, the prophets had no calendar to guide them. It was this issue of when that struck fear into the heart of Herod the most. And so upon his birth, Mary was humbled, the angels burst forth into song, the shepherds were shocked, the wise men worshiped the once star that now had come to a stop. And when Jesus, as a man, stood on the banks of the Jordan, the baptizer was overcome with humility in recognizing that Emmanuel had finally come with a winnowing fork in his hand. You see, my take is this. God has set up certain tests in life to see if you still believe. In the book and in the movie, The Polar Express, it's if the boy, the little boy, can still hear the bell ringing. He says, "On Christmas Eve many years ago, I laid quietly in my bed. I did not rustle the sheets. I breathed slowly and silently. I was listening for a sound I was afraid I'd never hear, the sound of Santa's sleigh bells." In the book, How the Grinch Stole Christmas, it's if the townspeople, though robbed of all of their gifts by the Grinch, still gather in the square to sing their Christmas songs together. If you lost your gifts, if you lost your tree, if you lost your lights, your home, or someone very dear and special to you, would you still believe in the babe of Bethlehem and the salvation and the comfort that he offers to all who are living in darkness or in fear? Would you? When was the last time that the Christ child surprised you, took your breath away, or made you gasp in wonder and delight? When? The time, tell me, when? You see, it's not a problem with children. They naturally believe. They have no issue with God, with how God wrapped his only begotten Son in swaddling clothes. Son of God, born of a virgin, laid in a manger. Got it, no problem. My parents were just here visiting for Thanksgiving, and they shared with me a story about how in downtown Rochester, where I was raised, and one of our rituals and traditions was to go downtown. They had a wonderful mall with shops, and it was all bedecked and bedazzled with lights, and there was a grand Christmas tree in the center. And I can even remember there was this monorail that used to go around in the mall, and all the little kids would get in the mall. And my parents said to me, "Nope, it's gone. Those stores are closed. They're no longer there. No more monorail. It's just all gone." The problem of belief comes later in life, doesn't it? As we age, the Son of God becomes more and more obscured and remote from our everyday lives. Once growing up takes a hold, our souls are in mortal danger of being lost to rationalism and consumerism and conflict and politics and grief. But remember with me now a time when all those, well, really superfluous things didn't hold such a commanding or demanding influence within our lives. Don't think of the tree, the trinkets, and the treasures. Think of where God was unpredictable, where he surprised you, where he caught you off guard, and threw a love hug around you that only God can do. I remember when we moved back to Great Britain in the millennium, in the year 2000. And I can remember our very first Christmas there. We prepared our home, And we got ourselves ready for services, but I will never forget the unpredictability of the Salvation Army marching band that came marching right down our street in our subdivision, what they call an estate, in our estate there. And they positioned themselves right in a crossroads, this marching band of the Salvation Army. And they just played and they played and they played all these wonderful Christmas carols and Christmas hymns. It was God unpredictable. In the little or larger moments where your Christmas has not been predictable, did you look down into the crib? Could you see what only those with the eyes of faith saw over 2,000 years ago? Have you looked at how he broke through all the ways in which you ignored, discounted, or denied his presence in your life? There is a time in life for adults that I call between the straw and the stars. The straw is his birth and the stars heaven above. The straw and the stars illustrate the beginning and the ending of life. And between the straw and the stars, we all have choices to make. You and I have a choice to make this Christmas Eve. If you came here tonight to worship and you thought, I didn't have, you do. You have a choice to make. Will we adore him? Or will we deny him? Will we worship him? Or will we ignore him? Will we open the door? He's knocking. Or close the door? Will we keep listening and watching like children do? Or become deaf and blind? Will we open our lives to the surprise of God's salvation and love, or resign ourselves to the greatest of all damnations, that Christmas is just really a day like any other? Don't you believe that? As pastor, fill your days between the straw and the stars, as the text says, with amazement. That is my plea. That is my wish for you. Do what Mother Mary did. Treasure and ponder this night in your heart forever, and be like the shepherds who glorified and praised God for all the things that they heard and saw on this night. Merry Christmas. To you, to yours, to your loved ones, to your friends, to your neighbors, to the communities that you keep, to this world that we pray for. Merry Christmas. Amen.